Joshua was essentially the protege of Moses, and Moses had died, and Joshua had come in and led the nation of Israel through many battles, and now it was almost time for Joshua to go off the scene. He was fixing to die as well. He was old. And so he began to kind of speechify here and give the nation of Israel a breakdown of what God had done in their life. And he talked about God bringing them out of Egypt, God bringing them across all them things I just said, God bringing them into the promised land, some of the battles that they had fought there. And then in verse number 13 is very interesting to me. I want you to understand now this all is applicable to our lives. You see, if you are saved, God has brought you forth out of Egypt, given you an opportunity to be brought out of Egypt. And there are some of us in this room who have even gone as far as to step across the waters of the Jordan, that which divides the wilderness of the Christian life from victory, from living in the promised land. Some of us have felt what it feels like to live our life truly in harmony with God, and to fight some of the battles that are there. And all of that stuff is applicable to our life. But I want you to hear me right here, this warning that he gives in verse number 13. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do you eat. Here's what Joshua said. He said, hey, before I say anything else, I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. None of this promised land that you are dwelling in, this salvation that you have, this grace that has been given you, none of this is because of you. None of this have you earned. All of this is a gift from God. Can I tell you something this morning? If you are a Christian, if you are a saved person, a person who has been washed in the blood of Christ, let me explain something to you. That is not something that you have earned for yourself.
Amen.
Salvation is a gift of God.
Amen.
You are living in a land that you did not build. You are dwelling in a place that you did not design. But then we get to verse number 14, and Joshua presents the nation of Israel with a choice. That's what I want to look at this morning. Joshua 24 and verse number 14, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now therefore, whenever you see a therefore in your Bible, you want to go back and figure out what it's there for. That's what that verse number 13 is about. Therefore, in sight of the fact that I've given you all these things, now therefore, fear the Lord. Why do we fear the Lord? Because he's been so good to us. When he don't have to. He could have squashed you like a bug, but he didn't. He saved you. What about that? Listen. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. I can't preach all this, but I'll say this morning. If you serve him in any other way, you're not serving him.
Amen.
And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. The people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. I want to go back to verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, listen to this. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Here's what I want to preach about for just a little while this morning. The choice. The choice. Father, we come before you today, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk, Lord, and preach the word of God. I pray that you would help me now, Lord, to do this in an effectual and effective way. God, in a way that would be life-changing. God, in a way that would be heart-altering. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd hide me behind the cross. It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. And I pray, Lord, that you would overcome my feebleness and frailty, God, and speak to your people in a way that would change us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The choice. Joshua presented the nation here with a choice. He said, you're going to have to choose when? Today. Right now. Right here and right now. You got to make a choice. And I'll give you a couple of things about this choice this morning. First of all, I wrote this down, the options of the choice. Can I say this about it? You got to choose. Understand that the type that we're presenting here, the metaphor that we're presenting here is that of the choice between the world and the Lord. The choice between living your life as a citizen of Egypt or the wilderness and living your life as a citizen of Canaan, the promised land. A choice between whether you're going to live a life that is in harmony with God or at turmoil with God. That is the choice that you are being presented with this morning. And I believe that there comes a time in the life of every Christian wherein that choice must be made and sanctified. Joshua, they didn't make this choice on the day that they left Egypt. You say, why, preacher? Because they didn't understand it. They didn't make this choice even on the day that they crossed over the Jordan. You say, why, preacher? Because they still didn't really understand it. They didn't make this choice on the day that they walked around Jericho and the walls came down. They didn't make this choice on the day that they fought their first battle. They didn't make this choice at the first time that God went ahead of them and defeated an enemy. It was once they began to dwell in the promised land that God spoke to them through Joshua and let them know, you have got to decide what you're going to do. You got to make your mind up right here and right now. And can I say this to you, Christians? There's some of y'all in here this morning that you have enjoyed that salvation. You have been brought out of Egypt. You have been brought across the Red Sea. You have been brought through the wilderness. You have been placed into the promised land. You have seen the blessings of God and laid eyes on what God has to offer you and enjoyed His peace for a time. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's somebody in here that needs to choose right here and right now. Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve somebody else? You got to choose. Notice this about the choice, the options of the choice. There's only two options presented. Notice what he said. He said, you got to choose who you're going to serve. You're either going to serve the gods that your father served, which are on the other side of the flood. That is to say, the gods of this world, the options that came before. Or are you going to serve the Lord? The L-O-R-D, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You say, who is that? That is Jehovah, Elohim. That is the one and only God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's who your options are, either him or anybody else. There's only two options, the heathen gods and the true God. Notice that when he talks about the gods that their father served on the other side of the flood, that's a lowercase g. You say, why? Because they're not the same as the uppercase g. There is a clear choice presented here. The way of the world or the way of the Lord. Can I tell you something, Christian? There's a choice to be made in this Christian life. You can live the way of the world, or you can live the way of the Lord, but you can't do both.
Amen.
There's a lot of folks tried, and let me tell you what that's called. The Bible has a word for it. It's called a hypocrisy.
Amen. The way of the world or the way of the Lord. There's no in between. There's no gray area. At some point, you got to come out of the wilderness. Hey, listen, the nation of Israel lived for 40 years in the wilderness, and God took care of them for them 40 years. But I can tell you this, they had a choice to make when they approached the promised land for a second time. And if they had chosen to stay in the wilderness, they would not still be there today. You can't live like that forever. At some point, you got to choose. Some of y'all need to make a choice this morning. Some of y'all are living your life just like that you can be both. That you can be halfway in and halfway out. I remember I used to work for a trucking company for years. I worked in the trucking business, and this illustration just in my mind. We used to always work in these trucks. They would back them up to a freight dock, and it was basically it's a surface that's level with the back of the truck, so you could walk from the dock into the truck. You didn't have to climb up in it. Everybody up to speed? We can right here say amen. And one of the most dangerous things that would happen when you were doing that is if a truck driver decided while you were loading his truck that he was going to get in the truck and pull away from the dock. I've seen it happen. I've seen a forklift halfway in a trailer and halfway on the dock, and a truck start to pull out, and guess what? It ends up all the way on the floor. All the way on the parking lot. Can I tell you something, Christian? You can't live your life but so long halfway in the will of God and halfway out. Because at some point, them two things are going to separate so much that you're going to end up on the parking lot. Amen. You're going to end up flat on your face.
Amen.
At some point, the gap's going to become so big that you've got to choose.
Amen.
Joshua made his choice clear. Here's what he said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Man, what a spiritual leader right there. Hey, men, listen to me for a second. Men, listen to everybody. All the men, listen to me for a second. Notice Joshua's wife didn't have to step up and say that.
Amen,
yeah, preacher. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt right here, but that's okay. Listen to me now. Men, are you listening to me? Don't take offense, but men, are you listening to me? Joshua's wife didn't have to decide what their household was going to do. Joshua did. Preach, preacher. Hey, you can like that or lump it, but I'm preaching Bible right here. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will. Some of y'all men today, when we give this invitation right here in about 20, 30 minutes, some of y'all men today need to stand up and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we will.
Amen.
Me and my house. Hey, listen, some of y'all need to stand up and say, I'm going to set some boundaries in my house. That's preaching right here. Hey, listen to me. When you go out west, you better be careful with this preaching right here, but I'm going to preach it. Hey, listen, if they run me off, I'll be run off, praise God. But hear me right here. Joshua didn't say, as for me. He said, as for me and mine, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody's got to be the leader, praise God.
Amen.
I understand that there's situations and all that, but hear me right here. As a design that's designed by God, somebody's got to be the leader.
Amen.
Joshua made his choice clear. He said, look up in here. My crowd, we're going with God.
Amen.
But hear me now. The others, their choice was left up to them. Joshua couldn't choose for them. Joshua couldn't choose for them and their house. Hey y'all. Listen to the preacher now. I'm not a perfect Christian. Do you hear me? I come short every single day. When Paul wrote down all that comes short of the glory of God, he's talking about me right there. That's where Paul related the most to me. Is when he said, all have fallen short. As he was talking about this guy. Okay? But hear me now. As for me and my house. You know, I told somebody the other day, I said, I would be the easiest person in the world to rob. Because I'm a creature of habit. I do the same thing every day. But the easy, if you really wanted to rob my house, I can tell you when to do it. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. It'd be real easy to get me. Because as for me and my house, we're going to be at the house of God. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Amen. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
As for me and mine.
Amen.
But I can't make that choice for you. Joshua couldn't make that choice for the nation of Israel. I can't make that choice for you. The choice is clear. I made my choice. Every single day I have to make my choices. But I can't do it for you. I can't step into the role. Listen, as a pastor, I get this all the time. And I've had to tell people, I cannot step into the role of the father in your family. I can't be everybody's daddy. I know that sounds bad, but hear me out right here. I want to. I wish I could sometimes. There's situations where I make concessions. And I go farther in some situations than I probably should. Because they need the help. But I can't be the husband in your family. I can't be the daddy in your family. Especially when there's already one sitting at the house on the couch watching football. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Woo! This is getting it's preaching time up in here, praise God. Listen now. Joshua said there's a choice. You got to make a choice, man. I can't make that choice for you. Joshua couldn't make that choice for them. It was a bunch of people listening to this speech that the next thing they did was go back across Jordan. I ain't got time to preach all that. Some of y'all Bible students are up hearing what I'm saying right here. There's a whole crowd in this that as soon as they finished this speech, they went right back to the other side of Jordan. God help us. That sounds like church. I mean, there's a whole crowd sits up in church and nods their head and says amen. And they walk out that door and go right back to where they came from. Oh, man. I didn't know this was going to go like this, Brian. Get your gun loaded. There's a choice to be made, and it's a simple choice, really. You can either get in or get out. The options are clear. Then look at this, the origin of the choice. I found this very interesting. He pinpointed the place where he wanted them to see the choice. Here's what he said. He said, I want you to choose who you're going to serve. Here's the options he gave them. The gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood. That's an interesting place that he placed that choice. The flood. You know, the flood, Genesis chapter number 6, the great flood, was a beautiful picture of salvation. And we know the story of the flood. Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of God. They built an ark. The flood came. Everybody that didn't make it in the ark got in the flood. Everybody with me, say amen.
Amen.
Here's the deal. There was only two types of people during that flood. I say this kind of stuff all the time, but I think it's really hard for us to get sometimes. But there was two types of people during the flood. There was ones that was in the boat and the ones that was in the water.
Amen.
That's it. There was no in between. There was the ones who found life. And they found it in the ark. And they was the ones that were everywhere but the ark. And that's where they found death. That's it. The origin of the choice is clear. It's simple. Christian, it's simple. You can go with God. Or you can go somewhere else. That's it. And hey, listen, the Bible says it like this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And wide is the gate, and broad the path that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be up that enter in thereat. Hear me now. There's two gates. That's it. There's no third gate.
Amen.
Man, we got a lot of Christians looking for the third option. How can I, here's the question we ask ourselves. How can I be a Christian in a situation that is advantageous to me and then be something else in a different situation where something else is advantageous to me? That's the choice we want. Where's door number three? Well, here's what I know. Here's what I know from experience. There is no door number three.
Amen.
Because here's the reality that you may not realize. When you live in hypocrisy, here's the lie the devil will tell you. Are y'all everybody okay? Because I've heard it myself, Ryan. Here's the lie the devil will tell you. Nobody knows. Everybody thinks you're something. Everybody thinks that you're just what you're pretending to be. That's a lie. Everybody knows. Your wife knows. Your husband knows. Your children know. Are you listening to me? Your friends know. Your family knows. Your coworkers know. They know you're a hypocrite. You're the only one denying. Because there's no door number three. At some point, you've got to make the choice. The choice is clear. The options have been presented. The origin of the choice, the flood. That's a hard line that was drawn during the flood. If you weren't in the boat, you was in the grave. That's it. If you weren't in the boat, you were in the water. And if you weren't in the water, you was in the boat. That's a hard line that God drew. The origin of the choice. Then let me give you this. I'm getting down to it now. The options of the choice, the origin of the choice. But let me give you this, the offense of the choice. That the verse number 19 is really interesting to me. It took me a while to study this out because I think that first line of verse number 19 probably offended some people. Because Joshua said to them, he said, you got to choose who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve all this other stuff. You got to make your decision. And the people answered him and they said, hey, we're going to serve God. Here's what he said at the beginning of verse number 19. This is so interesting. By the way, I love my Bible. Let me back up two steps and say I love my King James Bible because there's stuff in there that ain't in none of the other ones. Amen, preacher. Amen. Preach.
Amen.
Listen now. Check this out. Here's what he told them in verse number 19. After they said, we're going to serve God, we're going to do this stuff, here's what Joshua said. You cannot serve the Lord. And the first time I read that, I thought, man, what's he trying to say right there? Because he's telling them that's what they need to do. Now he's telling them they can't. And I got to studying this thing out and the context around it. Understand, he's not saying that it is impossible. Although in a way, it is. With God, all things are possible. We understand that. We're not going to over-spiritualize it here. But he's not just saying that they can't do it. It's almost as if he's daring. Something like this, they said, Joshua, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I don't believe you can do it. Have you ever looked at somebody when they said they was going to do something and said, no, I don't believe you can do that. I double dog dare you. You can't do it. I hate to give away my secrets, but ain't but one of my youngins in here, but I get my kids to do stuff like that all the time. They act like they don't want to do something. I say, you can't do it. I bet you can't do it. I bet you a dollar you can't do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Preaching and betting at the same time. Ain't that something? You ain't going to do it. That's what they listen. When I'm talking about, we take it back to the schoolyard, praise God. And somebody said, I'm going to whoop you. No, you ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do nothing. What? Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. That's what Joshua said. He said, y'all talk the talk, but I believe you can walk the walk. You ain't going to do it. He said, you can't. And listen, that probably offended some people.
Amen.
Are you hearing me now? But the gospel's always been offensive. Why do you think they killed Jesus? Because they liked him so much? Hey, listen. This was almost a statement of Joshua's doubt. As if to say, you're saying this now, but we'll see if you can really say it later. Hey, Christian.
I cannot tell you how many times I have heard somebody make this statement. I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to turn my life around. I got to do something different. And usually, I'm gonna reveal myself a little bit. Is that okay? A lot of times, in my heart, now, I probably would never say this. Some people, I might would say this out loud. But in my heart, it's something like this. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And listen, there's a lot of truth to that statement. Because before I trust in your proclamation, I'm going to have to see some evidence of it.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, the Bible says you'll know a tree by its fruit. If you're bearing bad fruit, that's a bad tree. I mean, I ain't judging you. I'm just telling you.
I still love you, but I ain't going to eat your fruit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He was giving them a little attitude right here. See, that hurts some people's feelings when you do that. Listen, I've had people tell me, you preach about being faithful to church all the time. And all, you know who never gets offended by that? People that are faithful to church and miss a day because they're sick. They don't get offended when I preach on being faithful to church.
Amen.
Just because they go on vacation once a year and miss a couple services, that don't bother them when I say you ought to be here all the time. I wonder why. Because it's not about what's on their calendar. It's about what's in their heart.
Amen.
Being offended most of the time just reveals what's really in your heart. Hey, he gave him some lip right here. He said, "Hey, boys, I believe you're gonna do it." And not only that, but he brought that behind that a statement of warning in verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. He said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, hey, if you go back, listen to this, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. He said, hey, boys, this thing goes both ways. Hey, Chris, there's nothing in this world more miserable than a saved person that's living like a lost person.
Amen.
You will never be more miserable than when you try to go back the other way. Joshua gave him a warning. He said, listen now, before you say this is what I'm going to do, you better hear me. There's some consequences right here. There ain't no turning back. This is not a game that you want to play. He reiterated his instruction in verse 23. Look at verse 23. He said, now they're still saying, in verse number verse 22, they're still saying, we want in. We want to be in. Look what he said in verse 23. He said, now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. I find this so funny because the more Joshua is pushing on them, the more they're saying, yeah, that's what we want to do. But they still got the strange gods with them. They still got the idols hiding in their tents. Now, I don't have time to preach all of this, but we can go back, and there was a fella that done that back yonder in Numbers, and he ended up in a great big hole in the ground.
That's right.
All right, now, they still got the idols that Joshua said, hey, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. You want in, but you better get rid of that mess before you get in. Hear me right here. Now, don't get it twisted. If you're lost, you ought to get saved. Are you hearing me? I don't care what you got in your life. Step one, we're not talking about a lost person right here that's not saved. You need to get rid of a bunch of stuff before you get saved. No, you can't do that till you get saved.
Amen.
You can't get to here till you get out of Egypt. That's way in the rear view right now. Alright? Lost person ought to get saved. I don't care what you bring with you. First step one, get born again. But hear me now, for you saved people, some of y'all are sitting on your pew right now, you're just waiting on this invitation. You're saying, man, today's gonna be the day. I'm making my choice. And praise God for you. But you better hear me and hear me well. Hey, some stuff you better be willing to leave behind when you make that choice.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to get off of that. The reason why the choice has not been successful for you in the past is because you're trying to bring all that junk with you. The reason why you keep finding yourself at this same spot. Man, I got so much I can preach right here. The reason why you keep finding yourself at this same spot is because you're still not willing. You've never really been willing to do what it takes to make that choice. Joshua said, okay, you really want to do this now. I'm telling you one more time. Get rid of the idols. Do it. Hey, Christian, listen to me now. I know you really want to make this choice. I know you really want to have the promised land. I know you really want to have the blessings of God. Hear me now. I'm going to say it again. Get rid of the idols. Let it go. There are more Christians in America. I'm going to preach now. Everybody okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's more Christians in America right now
that will never understand what it is like to truly serve God because they can't put the bottle down. Because they can't put the alcohol down. And hey, listen to me. It's like a rope. It's like one of them leashes that people put on their youngins at Disneyland. The world's got them. Every time they try to walk into the light of walking with God, here it comes again. Hey, there's so many Christians that will never experience what it's like to truly walk with God because of entertainment, because of alcohol, because of drugs, because... Ain't so many Christians that'll never know what it's like to serve God because of that person that they got feelings for. Boyfriend, girlfriend. I ain't talking about husbands and wives now because, hey, listen, if you marry when you get saved, y'all try to get your marriage right. Y'all try. I know, hey, listen, I said try, Brian. I said try. I understand. Hey, listen now. Thank God for grace. Amen?
Amen.
But hear me. Hey, some of them, I've seen them. They got a boyfriend, they got a girlfriend. And just like that saint, that leech, man, just every time they start to get in for God, snatch their feet right out from under them. This world is so selfish. It is so self-centered. Misery really does love company.
Amen.
I learned that after I got right with God. I learned a lot of stuff was true after I got right with God that I used to deny. Hey, listen to me. I want you to jump in with both feet. I want you to experience everything that God has to offer for your life. Because there ain't no telling what God can do with the people just in this room. Just this handful of people, man. There's no telling what God can do. Could turn this whole world upside. He turned the whole world upside down with 12 men. Fishermen. There's no telling what God can do with y'all. I want you to jump in with both feet. But hear me, let go of the rope before you jump in. Let go. Or you're just going to swing right back. The pendulum's just going to swing right back where it came from. Here's what Joshua did right here. I'm almost done. Here's what Joshua did right here. He put the ball in their court. He said, y'all have got to choose. And the consequences of their choices were real, just like the consequences of your choices are real. There is a consequence, good and bad, of the choices that you make. Some of y'all, I can't. See, it's hard when you're a pastor. It's hard when you're a pastor because you know people. And I try not to let that impact the things that I say. But it's hard because you know people and you know what they're struggling with. You know what they're dealing with. It's like almost like you know yourself. Right? And some of y'all, and I mean, I'm not talking about some of y'all in here. There's like one thing. There's like literally one thing in your life that is keeping you from walking with God. Like one, I mean, thing that could be fixed like that. I mean, I understand. I'm not downgrading the seriousness of some thing. There is a besetting sin. Paul talked about things that are hard to get away from, all that. But I'm talking about, Brother Randy, I'm talking about there's like one thing. Like one choice you could make today that would change the trajectory of your entire Christian life. Just like that. I'm not asking you to fix everything you ever done wrong. God knows you better than that. God knows me better than that. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that some of y'all's life has got like this one string attached to it. This thing that you just won't let go of. This thing that you just won't do. That is like the thing that's keeping you from walking with God.
Today, yeah, I tell you what y'all want to do. Y'all want to just cut that string loose.
Amen.
Let's go and take Canaan. Let's live in the fulfillment of God's promises. Let's see what God can really do. Let's leave some things behind and see what God can really do in your life. My prayer for this morning is that one person will just choose, just get off the fence, just decide, I'm going in. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to be without sin. We've got Jesus for that.
Amen.
I'm asking you to make your mind up. I've been preaching this the entire... some of y'all won't even realize this, but I've basically been preaching this same message for the entirety of 2024.
Amen.
Really. Every Sunday morning I come in here and preach the same thing. And you would think it would get boring, but I know why it don't. Because we're still struggling with the same choice.
Amen.
It's all 2024 is almost over. Wonder what 2025 is going to look like. Don't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.